You're listening to Khan Podcasts. Rabbi Dalia Marks, the Aaron D. Pankin Professor of Liturgy and Midrash at Hebrew Union College and author of From Time to Time, Journeys in the Jewish Calendar, spoke to us about Passover in this challenging time and how we can impart special meaning to the Seder.
I think this year is going to be quite challenging to think about Pesach, which is the celebration of Chirut, of freedom, of liberation. How can we think about liberation in times like this? Well, we recorded a few days before Passover, so let us hope that by the time it is broadcast, all the hostages will be home and we could talk about this whole situation in past tense. But nevertheless, we experienced this year an unprecedented, difficult, scary, challenging time on so many levels. And we experience it also in the previous festivals, right? If Hanukkah is, among other things, the festival of heroism, of victory, we were not completely there when we celebrated. If Purim is a celebration of joy and merriment, and that was also challenging. And the same with Passover. And I think in and of itself, this is the unique feature, the unique nature of Jewish festivals, maybe all festivals, not just Jewish, the unique junction between the circular time, the festivals will always come back, and the linear time that is not repeating itself. Well, let's hope it's not repeating itself. The historical time that every moment is new or different. So the junction between these two types of time, the repetitive time and the one time, the linear, unique time, is what gives our celebrations the unique feature. Yeah? If I think about Pesach, this is actually a very good example. The initial celebration of Pesach was to offer the sacrificial lamb in the temple. And when that was not possible anymore due to the destruction of the temple, and let us say that I have no yearning for the reconstruction or the rebuild of the temple and the restoration of the sacrificial cult, but when this was not longer possible, the rabbis replaced the offering, the actual offering in the temple, with a celebration of text. That's the birth of the Seder in its initial form by the sages of the Mishnah and later on. And when Jews suffered the persecution, and remember, Passover was the most dangerous time in the year for Jews under Christianity. That's the time in the year where most blood libels were committed against the Jews. You know, that the Jews are using blood of Christian children to produce their matzahs and things like this, and Jews that Jews killed Jesus, etc. This was the time of the gravest persecutions. Jews were very much afraid, and that explains the birth of the messianic part of the Haggadah, the piyutim, the liturgical hymns that you find at the end of the Passover Haggadah, the Passover text, that talk about the redemption, about the messianic age, about the coming of the Messiah, right? That's an innovation that was added to the Haggadah in times of distress. And the same this year, I see around me countless of suggestions and new texts and new rituals to add, that people propose to add into our Passover Haggadah to mark the special situation, the special tragic and sad situation that we're in, and to give it a meaning in the framework of the Passover celebration.
So if, as you say, over the generations and years, especially here with Passover, it enfolds the tribulations and the events mm-hmm. that the Jewish people have found themselves in, and certainly the Passover Seder traditionally is a time about questions and discussion, right, and perhaps plumbing those texts to also find insights and strengths. What are some that you might tap into at this time?
Right, it's exactly. At the core, at the base, at the heart of the Passover celebration is the question. And the question is, Manishtana, what is different this year? How is it different? What has changed? And it encourages us to reflect and to meditate and to think about our own lives as individuals, as families, as a nation. Also, I would say, in a global way, how our world is changed. And I think this year you can see all kinds of suggestions to mark this Manishtana, what is different. So I can think of a few things. The suggestions that I would like to share with you today are taken from the Reform Movement, Israeli Reform Movement website. So one suggestion is to decorate the table with yellow ribbons, which became a symbol for the commitment and the yearning and the struggle to return the hostages. That's in Israel. Interestingly enough, in the States, I saw they're using normally blue ribbon for some reason, but we're using yellow ribbon, which I think is an American thing initially. So today, that should be part of the decoration that informs the situation that we're now. Another proposal is to have a special cup, right? And Passover, we have four cups of wine, and then we have a cup of Eliyahu, of Elijah. And in many families, you have an additional cup. That's the cup of Miriam that has living water in it, not wine. But this year, there's a proposal to incorporate on the table a cup that is half full, that kind of that symbolizes our hopes and yearnings that we can fill it to its fullness by next year, because our lives are not full, or we're not complete until the hostages return home. That's another suggestion. In many families, and I also saw it in many synagogues, you leave an empty chair to mark the feeling that we cannot really be together, or we cannot really be around the table without the missing presence of those who need to be with us, and they are not with us anymore. There's been a beautiful text by Rabbi Alona Lisitsa that is to be recited when we cut the matzah, the unleavened bread, into two halves. And by this text, we mark the sadness and the mourning about the fact that half of our heart is captive in Gaza, with all these people who are in the tunnels, and we don't know who of them is alive and how are they, and we really miss them, and we want them to come back home. And again, there are all kinds of texts that were proposed. There are additional four questions. There is an additional 10 plagues, and also a suggestion to drip a drop of the wine into, like we do when we read the traditional 10 plagues. So you can see that we use symbols of the traditional Passover celebration and commemoration in order to bring attention to the current situation where we are at right now. Well, and I will just add to this that Passover, more than other celebration, is the place where we talk about our peoplehood, the state where we are. This is the time where in a lot of families, the older people in the family, the older generation, tell about their experiences in the young state of Israel, in the Holocaust, the sojournings and migrations. This is the time where you have intergenerational discourse, and this time it's all generations together experience this terrible events of October 7th and everything that followed it.
Certainly, many of the questions that come up during Passover, and first and foremost, how does this relate to me, are especially applicable in these days, that we feel very connected to these questions more than ever, perhaps.
Absolutely. And I will add to that, as we said at the beginning, that time of distress and time of trouble and times that we experience catastrophe is a great catalyst for liturgical and ritual innovations. That's what we see often. But the other side of this coin is that creativity, liturgical, religious, textual, creativity is a coping device with our reality and the difficulties that we experience. We use it to explain to ourselves what we're experiencing and what we're hoping for, what we're praying for, how we envision our lives after this distress, and what we should do in order to get out of this situation.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Naomi. Toda rabah, and may it indeed be Chag Sameach. Happy Passover.